Episode 12. A Man is a House. Every time a new painting appeared in the temple of the teacher, it became a real event. The students already knew that this was not just an image that brought aesthetic pleasure, although the paintings were technically perfect. But above all, it was objective art that carried the truth. It was a wise helper for spiritual growth. Each such image evoked many diverse emotions. They were colorful and very accurate paintings, and each of them carried a deep meaning. Even if one did not know the symbolic meaning of all the details, upon closer examination, it became clear that there were several layers of perception there. On the first one, the viewer saw only images, composition. Episode 12. A Man is a House. Every time a new painting appeared in the temple of the teacher, it became a real event. The students already knew that this was not just an image that brought aesthetic pleasure, although the paintings were technically perfect. But above all, it was objective art that carried the truth. It was a wise helper for spiritual growth. Each such image evoked many diverse emotions. They were colorful and very accurate paintings, and each of them carried a deep meaning. Even if one did not know the symbolic meaning of all the details, upon closer examination, it became clear that there were several layers of perception there. On the first one, the viewer saw only images, composition, and color. But in order to move to a deeper level, outside help was often needed. And then, the disciples were waiting for a meeting with the sage. The keeper of the knowledge could tell the students about the second layer, give them the opportunity to get into the very essence through visual images. The canvas depicting a large house appeared in the temple only yesterday, and the students wanted to learn about the true meaning of the painting as soon as possible. While they were waiting for the sage, they managed to carefully examine it. In the center of the composition was a solid two-story house with a red-tiled roof. There was a kitchen on the ground floor, a bedroom and a bathroom on the second floor, and a stable in a small annex. The house stood in the garden with shrubs, a lawn plot, and fruit trees. There were people working inside the house, but they could not produce anything good, and something was clearly wrong there. Because of this, the picture seemed surreal. Every detail seemed to scream, "This is wrong, unnatural. It should not be like this." A maid in a lace apron with a duster tried to approach a horse from behind, but it kicked her, and the woman flew back. An expression of surprise, fright, and indignation froze on her face. A groom was carefully putting the saddle on the kitchen table. A gardener was working in the bedroom, enthusiastically trying to cut through the leg of the floor lamp with a pruner. And in the bathroom, a cook was trying to eliminate the leak with a ladle. A plumber soiled in earth was holding a hammer and a monkey wrench, intending to use them to trim the bushes in the garden. At the same time, it was clear that he had already managed to mess things up. There were mangled trunks of trees and bushes everywhere. The plants were crippled, and the garden was in a deplorable state. And the whole picture was completed by a man in a suit and top hat who was coming down the stairs. He was outraged, dissatisfied with what was happening, and shouted something to the workers, waved his cane threateningly, and shook his raised fist. The students surrounded the painting from all sides, looking with genuine interest at the details of the canvas. Someone was silently evaluating the artist's work, thoughtfully looking at the image. Others moved back a little, then approached again, changing the angle of view. Still others were talking animatedly among themselves, making assumptions about the artist's plan. One thing united everyone. The students were waiting for the Keeper of the Knowledge, and when he came up, the eyes immediately turned to him. "Beloved teacher," one of the students came forward, a girl with deep light blue eyes, "we have a new picture. We have considered it, but we still do not understand what it means and how to work with it spiritually." The Keeper of the Knowledge looked at the student with warmth and began to speak. "The house symbolizes a person," he explained, pointing at the painting with his palm. "In Buddhism, it is said that a person is a house which thieves have broken into and act upon their own will." "Thieves? And what does that mean?" "This refers to thoughts and emotions that rob us when we identify with our roles and masks. But here," he pointed to the canvas again, "is another scheme. It is shown that all the centers of our being are out of place. This refers to the emotional, intellectual, motor, and sexual center. See? It is wrong, unnatural, as if everything has been turned upside down. Look, here is a plumber in the garden working, breaking trees. The groom in the kitchen puts the saddle on the table. In the stable, the horse kicks the cook with its hoof. The cook repairs the plumbing, and the gardener cleans the house, destroying and breaking everything, and cuts the floor lamp." "And who is this?" another student asked, pointing to the man in the suit and top hat who was coming down the stairs, clearly unhappy with what was happening. "The steward," replied the Keeper of the Knowledge. "You see, he is screaming in horror, shaking his fist, trying to put everyone in their places so that every employee does what is needed." The sage looked at the students carefully to make sure that they understood what he was leading to. "Every person should have such an internal manager," he said after a short pause, "who will observe what is happening, notice the wrong things, be horrified by it, and then try to restore order. He must put all the centers of a person in their places so that each part does its own thing and the person begins to function normally." "Beloved teacher, can you give an example?" a tall, thin man in a long orange robe asked. "How exactly do our centers perform the wrong functions?" The sage intertwined his fingers and, looking at the picture again, nodded to the student. "Yes, Ilya, I can. But first, answer one question," he said, and looked at the man searchingly. "What kind of center do you think we use when we read?" He froze for a moment thinking, but then answered with confidence. "Intellectual, I think." "That is right," the keeper agreed. "And what will happen if instead of the intellectual center, we use the mechanical center to read?" "The person simply will not understand what he is reading," an elegant red-haired woman suggested, with a half-questioning intonation, joining in the conversation and involuntarily taking a short step toward the sage. "That is right, Julia," he praised the student. "The person will just mechanically run through the lines with his eyes, but will not understand anything. He will not be able to make out what is written. He will not remember anything." The sage made a short pause and continued again. "And so does everything else. For example, the emotional center should work to assess some situation realistically, but often the intellectual center intervenes in this assessment. What do you think happens then?" "The person can't draw the right conclusions?" Ilya asked. The Keeper of the Knowledge nodded, confirming the student's assessment. "This happens very often. The simplest example is how a woman chooses a partner, a husband. For example, she sees an unworthy man, a drunkard, a gigolo, or an abuser, and the emotional center reacts correctly, tells her that a disgusting impression is coming from him. The sexual center says the same thing. But here, this man comes up and mutters, "I love you. I will always be with you. Marry me." And here, the intellectual center is connected and begins to incorrectly assess the situation. And the woman remembers, "Oh, Mom said that the one who confesses his love is the prince. Maybe I don't understand something. Maybe he should be like that." And so she begins to convince herself, believing these false attitudes and patterns. The sage looked significantly at the picture, again drawing the attention of the students to the image of a house with ineffective workers. Instead of the emotional and sexual centers assessing the situation, the intellectual center does it. And it turns out, as in the picture, the groom in the kitchen is smashing and breaking everything, and the cook in the stable gets hit with a hoof. And in life, the person receives a pathetic fate with a drunkard and a domestic tyrant. "My friend chose just such a husband for herself," the red-haired student involuntarily commented. "He confessed his love to her beautifully, and then she said to me, 'I understand that I have a distaste for him, but then I think, he loves me so much. But is it possible to use such words lightly?'" The woman sighed, catching her breath. As a result, it took 6 years of battery until she finally decided and kicked him out. The students who listened attentively to the story began to talk animatedly and comment on the situation, actively expressing their emotions. The keeper waited for a while, letting everyone speak out, then continued, summing up everything that had been said. "If our centers were in their place, then we would evaluate life correctly, and everything would be different. The intellectual center would read and study, try to understand something. The mechanical center would work with hands and feet, and the emotional and sexual centers would evaluate everything independently. But in fact, it often happens differently, and a person's life becomes unbearable because such chaos is going on." The sage nodded again toward the canvas. "And to avoid this, it is necessary to restore order." "But how should we act correctly? Where do we start?" "You need to start by observing yourself. And when we do this regularly, then one day we are horrified. But this is just the right reaction, and we should not be afraid of it. This helps us to see ourselves truly. And after that, there is an opportunity to do something, to correct the situation." "Teacher, and is there any pattern in which the center will manifest?" a stocky guy with a neat beard and a ponytail on the back of his head asked thoughtfully. "Does it depend on which center is the main one in a person?" "Yes, it does," the sage replied. "For example, if the intellectual center prevails, then it will always climb forward. When a person is told run, he instead will start thinking, 'Why? And what will I get for this?'" "Teacher, is it true that these are only our centers?" asked a green-eyed, statuesque brunette in a long light dress. "These characters in the drawing, and can it not be considered and understood as various false personalities in a person? His roles that he plays during his life. For example, a woman works as a boss, and when she comes home, she also starts giving orders, although this is no longer necessary." The keeper of the knowledge looked approvingly at the student. "Good observation, Galina," he praised her. "Yes, you can interpret it like this. False personalities often act incorrectly. For example, a judge comes home and arranges a new court session with her husband in the kitchen. It is completely wrong that this role continues to operate where it is not necessary. And this provokes conflicts, disharmonious situations. Therefore, we need to observe ourselves and see which personality is now involved in us, what role it plays, and whether it corresponds to the situation. And we should observe whether that court session has begun in the kitchen yet. Thank you for the explanations, teacher, Galena said with sincere gratitude. Now we understand what it means, she pointed to the canvas, and what we should strive to do to fix it. She turned to the other students, and a wave of approval and agreement swept through the audience.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.